Hello, and welcome to episode 335 of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. Like it's in the title, this is a movie review podcast where we will be discussing movies, both new and old. And just a warning ahead of time, we will be spoiling these movies. So if there's a movie that we discuss that you haven't seen yet but are interested in, maybe skip ahead a few minutes and then come back and listen once you've seen the movie. I am Doug, and I am here with Simon, who has founded, created, and is basically the grand poobah of everything Extra Features.
I am, and I'm the grand poobah of the Love Boat, because I don't know anybody else I've ever met has watched many episodes of Love Boat as I have.
I'm sure there are, but maybe they have all passed
really?
Away already.
Have you ever met one?
Well, no, that's why I'm saying it was on, what, 40
well,
years ago? So
your mom's probably my age. Oh, what am I saying? Yeah, you're younger than me. Your mom could be just a tiny bit older than me.
I think my mom is in her mid to late 70s. So
okay, same age as my mom, older than my mom. Okay, never mind. You mean your mom have nothing to do with each other at all. Sprouts
okay.
Top of the record.
All right, then.
But you're going to ask her if she's seen all the episodes of Love Boat, though.
I can assure you that I'm pretty sure she has not.
So there we go. See, I'm ahead of her.
Yes.
So last time we talked, you asked about the Love Boat. I couldn't. Season 7 is now complete.
Okay.
I'm now on season 8.
How many seasons were there?
9.
Okay, so you're getting close then. You are getting.
But then I have all the TV movies to watch. I haven't watched the prequel movies or the ones after. There are prequel movies before the series started.
Okay.
Which I have not seen.
I didn't even know that, so.
Oh, I do. I think there's 4. I'll tell you how many when I get to that level. I'm not there yet, so I can't really. So
okay.
I'm having a little bit of dilemma. So I buy these DVDs, I bring them out here, and I tell you this is what I bought, blah, blah, blah. And I really do watch them. I honestly watch everything I buy. Doug will back me up.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow me on Letterboxd if you want to see what I'm up to. It's Extra Features on Letterboxd. I think it's Extra Features Podcast. I don't know. You'll find me anyway. It's a picture of our logo. Doug is Doug Hainer on everything. Toilet paper, yes. His underwear, anything he has, he's got his name on it. So
yes.
You'll find him. So that's not my point. My point is I'm watching a movie called Delta Heat. Lance Henriksen and Anthony Edwards.
Okay.
I'm like, who made this garbage? Like, absolute complete and utter garbage. And I'm thinking to myself, do people just have money to burn in Hollywood? Or some guy living in Louisiana has just $5 million or $10 million just to light on fire?
I want to say that could be – I think that might have been a TV movie back in the day. So it could have been something like TNT or one of those – stations made a movie back in the 90s.
What is the point of making these is what I'm trying to say. Who are they for? Who is sitting down TNT on a Friday night going, TNT, ooh, Lance Henriksen, I remember him from Alien. And that guy, oh, wasn't he in Top Gun? Oh, he died in Top Gun. And he was on ER. Yeah, we'll put them in the movie. People will watch it. Who's watching these? Oh, did you watch
did.
Them? I watch anything. I like a complete, I don't know what I'm looking for. An abomination, anomaly in the force. That's mm-hmm. me. Because I watch everything. I don't care. If I haven't seen it and I haven't, I watch it.
Okay.
Most normal people will turn crap off. Not this guy.
Also, so they made it because they knew that you would watch it.
I think that's it.
I think, or maybe if that wasn't a TV movie, then maybe the direct-to-video market just...
That's what I'm thinking.
Because people would rent stuff back in the day just to... Because, yeah, they recognize Anthony Edwards as the guy from ER, and like, oh, I liked him on that. Let's see him in something else. So back in the day, when I worked at a video store, if like the big rental was all rented out that
so
weekend...
So you tell me. Big Rental is gone. That. Twister is gone off the shelf. Tom Hanks is gone and whatever that movie's mm-hmm. called, I forgot. Which Robin Wright Penn. What do you recommend? Do you go people, hey, there's more videos over here? What do you do?
I personally would recommend older movies to people.
Want older movies. Most people do not want anything black and white.
And when I say older, I didn't necessarily mean black and white. Okay. But, you know, I would recommend like, oh, you're looking for Twisters or Twister. That's out. How about Speed? Would you? I will be honest. Really? I'm bad with years, so I don't know if Twister came out before Speed or if it was vice versa. Speed
came out before Twister.
So, yeah, I would point him in the direction of Speed or something.
Okay, so they walk over, it's not there, but they have Delta Heat.
Yeah, some people will just pick that up and rent it.
You're like, oh, have a good night watching that. You're like, do you laugh at yourself knowing how bad the Delta Heat's going to be? Or you just say, yep, I made $4, put it in the till.
Pretty much it. I can't fault. I like bad movies, so I can't fault people for renting bad stuff.
So I guess my question is, when they're renting DVDs, when does the adult movies go out? Is an adult movie kind of come by itself? Or does that customer pick up Twisters and Delta Heat and I like Voyager 8 Behind the Curtain? I don't know what they're called, the title.
Usually people would pick up an adult film and a regular film at the same time. It was rare that somebody would just come in, just go right for the adult section and get one of those.
Okay, I don't care what you're right. I don't want anybody to think I'm judging anybody. You watch what you need to watch. Because you can judge me all you want, because I couldn't care less. So there you go. So, Doug, I got nothing else. I mean, it's been a busy week at work. I went to something called CNE today. I don't know if you know what that is.
I do not.
It's like a state fair, but not a state fair.
Okay.
That's the same idea, rides and food and this and that. Oh, and I forgot to tell you what I bought there. So we have a food building. So it's a massive, big food building, and they have a lot of different foods. So my daughter, being my daughter, has bought, and I paid for it, of course, don't get me wrong, an $18 macaroni and cheese.
Okay.
Which I'm like, uh-huh. So to be nice, I spent $12 on 3 chicken tenders that were rolled in Fruit Loops and brought those over to her. I said, look, you need some protein. She ate one, of course. Me being me, saw a $25 samosa.
Mm-hmm.
12 inches. This guy bought the samosa.
Okay. How was it?
It was a little dry from what I thought. I would have a little bit more taste. I was not over impressed. It gave me a little bit of dip. The problem was the drinks were $5.
Okay.
So my daughter bought a water with hers, and I bought her a Sprite because I don't really like Sprite, but I knew she wanted more to drink. Both were gone, so I'm like dying here on nothing, trying to eat this dry samosa. So I say about a little over 2/3, 7/8.
Mm-hmm.
Put the rest in my pocket because I'm insane, and took it home and ate it on my train ride on the way home.
Okay.
So it did get finished in one day, not one sitting, but one day.
Okay.
So does that count?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it counts.
Because I ate 2 chicken tenders and my daughter's macaroni too on top of it, so.
Okay, so you're not hungry, is basically.
No, I came home and had dinner, of course.
Okay.
So that's it. It's movie time, I think. I got no other good stories. I'm sorry. Not even.
All right.
And just so you guys know, I bought nothing this week. I didn't leave the house, didn't go anywhere.
You know what? Neither have I. So that'll save some time at the end on a segment.
Ah, crap.
But that's okay, because we have plenty to discuss, starting with Trap. Directed by M. Night Shyamalan, starring Josh Hartnett, Ariel Donahue, Salika Night Shyamalan, Haley Mills, and Allison Pill. I can start off on this one if you want.
Go ahead.
I will be honest, this movie was just okay to me. I've seen people say it's fantastic, and I've seen people say it's awful. I'm kind of in the middle on them. I think Josh Hartnett, I liked him. I thought he played the role of the butcher very well. There were some scenes that, like, amused me. I liked seeing Riley's rival seeing her on stage dancing with Lady Raven and then screaming at her mom. I thought that was kind of funny. But yeah, it to me, it was just kind of just in the middle. It wasn't great, but it wasn't awful. It was competently made. I just didn't love it. Maybe it would have been better if I liked Lady Raven's music more, but I wasn't a big fan of the music in the movie either. All in all, it was just okay. I like Alison Pill. I think she's great. I love her in just about everything I've seen her in. But all in all, this is really just right down the middle for me. I gave it a 2.5 out of 5.
Well, I agree with you totally on the score, but let's go into the movie a bit more. Let's bring this back. I love Josh Hartnett. I don't want anybody to think I don't love – I'm a big, big Josh Hartnett fan here. Always big. I think this film gives you everything it's supposed to give you. It sets you up nicely. They do try a bunch of things. I said, well, what about the roof? He went up to the roof. He had the idea. I did find it a little convenient he could get out of everything like that. Mm-hmm. Like just snap, boom, he's out of it. I thought the movie scenes were pretty good. You know, I thought the setup was good. It seemed like a real concert to me. I think it's 2/3 of, again, of a good movie.
Okay.
I find the third act is getting clumsy. When he goes backstage and stuff, I'm like, really? This is getting a little dumb.
The part I found clumsy was when the guest performer comes up on that elevator lift and he's like, hey, honey, wouldn't it be cool if we went underneath there and saw what was up? I thought that was kind of ridiculous. And I'm happy that she was like, Dad, you're acting weird. That's something a weird person would say. So I liked her reaction to that.
But when he goes backstage, I'm like, I think he could have made it by the cops.
Maybe.
I think he had a shot because he's backstage. You know, he just went on. Like, she could have walked him out. Do you know what I mean? Hey, do you mind walking me out? My daughter wants to say goodbye. The cops would just probably let him go at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a little the headhunter finding a ticket to the show. I'm like, really? Okay. I thought that was a little, the FBI, I'll let that go.
Yeah, and if they had a receipt, wouldn't they know the actual seats that the person bought? Even if it was just a partial receipt, they could track it somehow and get the actual seat numbers, is what I thought.
Yeah, I just thought of that. I was like, okay, I got to let this go. I thought that all that stuff was good. This was filmed in a town near my house. There are parts of Toronto in this film.
Okay.
I recognize. And it's filmed in Hamilton, I think. It's filmed at Copps, which is just it's an hour from my house, maybe two, an hour and a half. But no, I thought it was decent. I think everything was set up nicely. It's just, there's nothing here that's going to blow you away. There's no big twist, which I thought there would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, okay, I enjoyed this. I just didn't love it. I can't recommend it because it's just so average.
Yeah, I think the one thing that surprised Dylan – I saw it with Dylan. He went with me. The one thing that surprised the both of us was that the concert venue had a Shake Shack in it. We were like, there's a Shake Shack? That's amazing.
That's product placement. There's no there's – I don't want to. No, wait, I lie. There is one Shake Shack in Canada now.
Okay.
But just, I'm down right downtown.
Mm-hmm.
I have no reason ever to go near the Shake Shack.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. Like, it's just, it's inconvenient for me to get to. I don't know. If you look at the busiest place in my downtown world,
mm-hmm.
that's where it is.
Makes sense.
There's no parking near it. I'd have to pay for parking, go to Shake Shack, go back down. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess I could do it. But I just think this, again, everything is well acted. Everything is well shot. It's just not very interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to say about this other than watchable. People are going to watch this, but there's nothing's going to shock you.
Yeah, pretty much. Does it, I guess, does it drive you cuckoo? Which will be our next film, Cuckoo, directed by Tillman Singer, starring Hunter Schafer, Dan Stevens, Jessica Henwick, Jan Bluthart, and Martin Koskas.
Oh, it's my turn to start.
Yes.
I really got to start reading a bit things about movies before I go in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was lost for the first 20 minutes of this film. I was like, what's going on? And then half an hour, and I'm like, okay, this thing's getting creepy. I'm kind of liking this. I'm in. Creep factor's in. Stuff's happening. And then it gets, I'm like, and then she puts her, I'm like, okay, I'm in. I'm 100% on board. And then I find the slide down starts at that point. I got bored. I'm like, you guys had me. Stick with what you had. When you took this weird left turn in Albuquerque and started getting a little bit more like impregnating people and this bringing this, I'm like, okay, this is very convoluted now. It just starts snowballing fast for me as I'm watching it. I'm like, you guys missed it. I love the beginning. The beginning had me locked in. And after that, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not digging it. Okay. I found it sloppy near the end. I really didn't care about the end. I wanted more of the beginning. I think I wanted a supernatural movie and ended up getting an action movie I'd seen before.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Like I was 100% on board at the beginning. I'm like, oh, this, I love the tension was good.
Mm-hmm.
It set up nicely. And I don't know what happened in the last two acts. It just didn't interest me anymore. I got bored quickly.
Okay.
I mean, I thought the fight scene was a mess at the end.
Okay.
It just sort of sloppily shot. And a couple times, I'm like, he should be dead. That guy should have been shot by now. I think it was more the director's issue, my issue on his standard shooting style. I'm like, dude.
Okay.
You're shooting this badly. Like, I'm watching them shoot going, that guy's dead. Like, I know he should be dead by now, just by the way they shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's just that they're both clumsy shots so they can go on longer.
Maybe.
I don't know. I like the lead actor.
Yes, Hunter Schafer.
Is that the woman's name?
Yes.
Yeah, she was good. But it just, I don't know, nothing seemed to gel for me in this film. It seemed just, okay, we're going to do this. And then she's going to go here, and then we're going to do this, and then somebody else is going to help her out. And I'm like, I don't care. None of this is that interesting to me, or nothing I've seen, haven't seen before. But it's better than Delta Heat. I just want that stated.
Okay, I will say, I think I like this one a lot more than you did.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Tell me what I'm missing.
It was the end, the actual ending that threw me off. If you think about it too hard, it falls apart, and I guess I'll just spoil the ending right now. I didn't like that Gretchen goes off with Alma at the end.
Why not? It made sense to me.
Well, because Alma's parents are both still alive. Why not bring her home to them? What is Gretchen going to do when Alma grows up and her cuckoo powers start manifesting and her screeching and whatever. So I just tend not to think about that too much. But everything up until then I actually really liked. I've never watched Euphoria on HBO, so I've never really seen Hunter Schafer before. So this is really, aside from the one scene she was in Kinds of Kindness, this was the first big thing I've seen her in. And I thought she was great. I loved the scene where she's confronting Dan Stevens and the entire family, and he's like, you're supposed to be here or whatever. And she's like, that's a really weird fucking way to say that.
Yes.
I thought that was brilliant. I loved that scene, and I loved her in it. I liked the explanation of the cuckoo about how it's a bird that takes over a nest, and so you're actually feeding infant that isn't yours, which is what these cuckoos do. I loved all that. The scene where she's on her bike and you see the shadow of the cuckoo chasing her. One of the best horror scenes in a movie this year. But yeah, aside from the very end, I thought I really had fun with this. Again, it's Dan Stevens again, just in a low-budget horror film, just not giving a shit, just having fun with it. And I really like that Dan Stevens. I like this one a lot. I might have even liked it more than Long Legs.
I like this more than Long Legs.
But I gave them both the same score. I did both 4 out of 5.
Wow.
Yeah. I like this. I like this movie a lot.
Okay. So tell me what I missed. Like, it was just, it all worked for you? You didn't find it sloppy then at the end like I did.
The very end I found sloppy, but with the shootout, no, because the one guy is a nerd scientist and the other guy is a disgraced cop who's still mourning the loss of his wife. So I could believe that they both aren't the greatest of shots and just can't hit each other. I can believe that.
It just went on too long for me. I needed more of that horror that we had at the beginning. It set me up for that and then took it literally away from me halfway through the film. And that just kind of annoyed me. I wanted more of that.
Okay.
And I got less of that. I ended up with Delta Heat. Like, that's really what I'm trying to say. Okay. Yes, I'm going to refer to Delta Heat a lot tonight because I just finished it like 20 minutes ago.
Okay. Well, I guess this movie, it's actually my turn to start with this one, but I'm still not sure my feelings. Maybe I'll figure out as we discuss it, but it's Alien Romulus.
I will go first for you this one, because let me tell you,
let me get the cast list out of the way real quick. Sorry. Directed by Fede Alvarez, starring Kaylee Spaney, David Johnson, Archie Renaud, and Isabella Merced.
I can talk again?
Yes.
I absolutely love this film. Absolutely, this is what I've been looking for in Aliens film for years. They got it right. I really expected to think this thing was going to be a big flaming pile of crap.
Okay.
Absolutely loved it. Oh my God, they got the tension perfectly for that opening scene. And I'm looking like all these people are dead. I don't know who any of these people are. They're all going to die. They get on the ship. They go boom. It takes a little while, and then they starts moving. I got to say, the beginning was a tiny bit slow for me, but that was okay. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. Got to get moving. And once this film moves, it moves. I like how it pretty much was a Resident Evil movie. And literally, they lifted off a Resident Evil video game and made this movie. I'm like, okay, I'm in. I can handle that. I love the way the aliens, they had lots of them. They introduce new aliens. They introduce all the things I love about facehuggers, chest bursting, alien queen. It's all in here. This is what I want from an aliens movie. They didn't try to change any of the lore. They did bring up stuff back from the first one with the company stuff, which I'm giving full credit. They're making me happy and give me a new aliens film at the same time that I enjoyed. Thank you. Kaylee Spaney absolutely impressed me in this film. I love the new android. The android kind of thing and how he gets uploaded. I'm like, brilliant idea. Absolutely want to give them credit for that. But that works. I like the scene where they have the liquid nitrogen and they pull the alien off her face, the facehugger.
Yes.
I thought that was going to work. And it didn't work. Right? And they fooled me. I'm like, brilliant. That was good. I like the little aliens when they go in the room and you had to figure out and change the temperature. Totally video game related. I'm like, that works for me. And then I love the scene where they go, what should you do? I suggest you run. And they take off. I'm like, that was cool. I'm like, you know what? I am pissed. I need to watch this again. I absolutely thought the acting was great. I enjoyed the kills. It gave me everything I wanted in this movie. And it brought, even continued the first one in here a tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
It totally works for me. Tension's good. Blood's good. I love this film. I would dying for another Aliens film now, because if this same director, same writers, I'm in.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there are scenes that I absolutely love in this movie. I love the zero-G alien blood, and they're trying to...
That was so cool at the end.
I thought that was awesome. David Johansen, I think he is the MVP of this movie, playing Andy, the synth. He like played multiple characters in the one character. I thought he was brilliant. The one thing that's really bugging me is the hybrid alien at the end. It's like they took the ending of Alien Resurrection and put it on steroids. I think the original design of the Xenomorph is perfect. I don't think you need to improve upon that at all. So when you have this creature walking around with just this dopey looking human face on it, that kind of took me out of the movie. And when I say I don't know how I feel about this movie, that's what I'm talking about. If it had just been a regular Xenomorph chasing them through at the end, I would have loved it. It was what I felt that the director or writer or producer or whoever felt the need to redesign the Xenomorph into something scarier. I think that failed. I think the original design of the Xenomorph is perfect as is. Aside from that ending, I agree with you. I had a lot of fun with this. I do think it took too long for this alien movie to become an alien movie. But once it got rolling, it really did just keep going. It was nonstop. It really was that alien redesign at the end that bugged me. I think I'm probably in the 3.5 range on this movie, 3.5 out of 5.
Sorry. I want to go back. I agree with you on the humanoid thing, because the first android we meet says, isn't he a perfect creature? Aren't they a perfect creature? Mm-hmm. They tell you they're perfect. So we didn't need the humanoid at all. I think they were just doing it for creepy factor, which does work for me. It was pretty effing creepy.
See, I don't think it was as – it looked goofy to me, but okay, that's me.
Fair enough. I will give this movie a 4 out of 5.
Okay.
I really, really friggin' – I'm an alien fanatic, so I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. But I, like I said, I like the cast. The Andy guy was amazing. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he's – I want to watch him in more things. I quite liked him here.
Yes. Yeah, there were. I think there was a lot of British actors in this movie.
And I got to go back. You're right. That 3D gravity thing was so cool. But again, did you not feel this was a video game movie? It literally felt we were watching a video game.
I didn't feel that way until you mentioned it. Once you mentioned that, I'm like, yeah, this does have a video game feel to it.
But I love that. I mean, I think Aliens needs that, because Aliens is literally a video game.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, I'm recommending this movie. Let me tell you, it probably will be on my top 10 list. I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
It's how much I really liked it. I mean, I say that now, but we still got lots coming out. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we go from Alien Romulus to Wicked Little Letters, directed by Thea Sharrock, starring Jesse Buckley, Olivia Colman, Ajana Vasan, and Timothy Spall. I'll start off on this one since you started with Romulus. I love both Jesse Buckley and Olivia Colman. I didn't see this movie in the theater, but as soon as I saw that it was streaming on Netflix, I decided I needed to watch it right away. And it's just a fun little movie. It's a movie that you would call a grandma movie, because I think you can show this movie to the whole family, including grandmas, as long as they don't mind harsh language. Because aside from that, there's really nothing offensive in this movie. I had fun with it. I liked the two leads a lot. I thought they were charming. What's the one scene I thought? The fact that the harsh language was so shocking, it caused Olivia Colman's mom to have a heart attack and die. That made me laugh. I just had a lot of fun with this. The one note I have here, I was wondering why Rose's daughter looked so familiar to me. So I looked up the actress. She played Abigail in the movie Abigail earlier this year.
I didn't notice.
Yes. So that's why she looked familiar to me. But yeah, I had fun with this movie. I gave it a 3.5 out of 5.
Well, you're not getting away that easily on this film. Good try, though, Doug. Okay. I got to say, the more I watch Colman, the more I love Colman. She cannot do anything wrong for me. And as I go back through her filmography, look, I'm like, oh, my God. All these films I saw her in, I didn't know who she was. Mm-hmm. And she never took it away. So let's get in. Without Colman being, I'd say, perfectly brilliant in this film, mm-hmm. it won't work. She is just truly wonderful. So is Jesse Gold.
Yes. Yes.
Wonderful. Absolutely perfect spot. I like the whole setup. Is this a real village they live in or a set?
Probably a real villa. I didn't look it up. I would say it looked pretty real to me.
Well, that was my thing. I liked the idea. I enjoyed, I say 8/10 of this movie, I loved. My problem was when the detectives start getting involved. I didn't enjoy them as much. The men detective were too stupid for me. Mm-hmm. And they were treating the lady detective so badly. And I just got annoyed with them. At that point. But Jesse, man, when she's running away from them, made me laugh so hard.
Yeah, I think the two leads of this movie were just perfectly cast.
I did have a lot of problems with the courtroom. I thought it was a bit of a mess. The courtroom stuff was not very uninteresting to me. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. And I think... just before they tell you who did it, you pretty much know who did it. I don't want to give that away right now.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there going, what could I do to make this film perfect? And I'm like, I would probably get to the courtroom stuff and make it a little more interesting somehow.
Okay.
Like, I just find it, the film is so much fun all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, they're making comments, this and that. I needed that in the courtroom, and they made it so serious in the courtroom, and I'm like, I think that's the problem. You're trying to do something that the film shouldn't be doing for where you set it up and finish it.
I get that.
I find it's a bit of a mess in the middle. I'm like, I know what you're trying to prove, but you're making Jesse look bad, and I don't want Jesse ever to look bad in my eyes in this movie. To me, she's the only real person in the movie. You know?
Mm-hmm. I get those.
Like, I can relate with her. She's having fun. She's living her life. Mm-hmm. And just so you know, me doing my job and living in a mailbox, as we know, I never leave. You can't put somebody in a mailbox because that's just not allowed. Okay. I understand in movie magic, I should allow it. It just kind of bugged me. I thought the handwriting analysis should have came up a bit more.
Well, they tried, but they specifically said that back then that wasn't looked at as a real science, or it couldn't be used as proof of anything.
I thought that was just an easy way just to deflect that off us so we couldn't use that to get this film done quicker. Mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. But no, overall, I think it's a great, fun movie. Yes, my grandmother or my actually, I'm going to recommend it to my mother-in-law.
Okay.
And see what she thinks of it. But I think she's going to love it.
Okay.
She likes these quirky. I think it's a very quirky film.
Yes.
But I think it's a lovely film. Now, my question I want to know is, where did you find out about this? Because I didn't ever see anything about it.
I like I said, I'm a fan of both Jesse Buckley and Olivia Colman.
So am I.
So when the trailer came
out. Jesse Buckley.
Oops. So when the trailer came out, I saw the trailer. And I just never got around to seeing it in the theater. But as soon as it started on Netflix, I was like, this is a must-watch instantly.
This got a theatrical release in States? I don't know if it got one in Canada.
Yeah,
because I know I would have seen it.
It didn't do well, obviously. It kind of came and went, but yeah, it was in the theater for a couple weeks.
Okay. I must have missed it. I got to apologize, dude, for missing it. Because I think I would have loved this film and watched it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think it's a delightful film. Buckley shows her butt, so if you're like, you want to see the Buckley butt, there you go. And I
for
did
one
like
split second. Yes,
it's a little bit longer than a split second.
Okay,
but I do want to bring a little bit more attention to her boyfriend.
Okay,
I thought he was pretty solid too.
Yes, I don't think I took down his name. That
it doesn't matter.
Name.
He's not important to the plot in any way. I mean, there's one minor scene he's kind of needed for.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, oh, maybe two scenes he's needed for. But that's about it. But I think everybody here does a solid job. It just falls apart for me here and there. Not to the point that I hate the film. I think a little bit of writing, a little bit of working maybe going to fix that. Or maybe they weren't going for that at all. And the end just kind of bugged me.
Okay.
How the cop finally gives in to her and gives her handcuffs. I go, that's a little dumb, but okay, I'll let it go.
Yeah, I also like the little groups of women just investigating on their own. I thought
real.
That was great.
I think that really does happen.
Mm-hmm.
In these small towns.
Yes.
And that people actually get together and do this stuff. I just feel... I guess reading too much Agatha Christie novels that I feel this stuff actually exists.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. People, I want you to watch this film. I gave it a 3.5. I am a hard grader, though, as we all know. But that is a recommend for me. It's a 3.5. So take it for what you will.
Okay.
Doug gave it a 9.
No, I gave it the same score, 3.5 out of 5.
Oh, look at that. Okay.
All right. So now we go on to Zom 100, Bucket List of the Dead, directed by Yusuke Ishida, starring...
Good luck.
Elgia Akasu, Mia Shiriyashi, and Shuntaro Yanagai. I think I pronounced those probably horribly. I'll start with this one because... I love zombie movies. What can I say?
Japanese zombie movies.
Yes. First of all, this movie hooked me right at the beginning with the premise of the main character not being upset at a zombie apocalypse because it meant he didn't have to go to work anymore. I love that concept. Unfortunately, I relate to it far too well. I would much rather survive a zombie apocalypse than go to work. But yeah, aside from that, this is kind of a prototypical zombie comedy. I don't think it offers much in the way of gore or action per se. It does have a zombie shark who can come on land because it's already dead, using the legs of people it has eaten, now poking out of it to walk on land. So that's a kind of unique concept. But aside from that, I don't think this movie really has much else to offer. unless you're like me and love zombie movies. I will say there is also an anime of the same name. It's longer, so it goes past the aquarium story. It actually goes into the main character's family. He goes to see them on a farm that they live on away from the city. So I guess if there's a sequel, that's where this movie will go. I love zombie movies. I had fun with this one. I gave it a 2.5 or 3 out of 5, just kind of right down the middle. Didn't really offer much new, but I love the concept of a guy loving a zombie apocalypse because he didn't have to go to work.
Yeah, I can't relate to you on the zombie apocalypse because, I mean, I was thinking maybe you'd write a list with your kids and your wife and come visit me is what I was thinking why this movie was going on.
Okay.
Because Doug knows I'd get sidetracked and never make it to him. Because Doug knows how I work. But I was into this movie for about 15, 20 minutes pretty solidly.
Okay.
And then what I find when they pick up his buddy and they pick up the stewardess,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is getting cliche. And then I found it was cliche from then on until they got to the aquarium.
Okay.
I found this movie. I did like the bus pulling up and all those people getting turned into zombies.
Yes.
I did enjoy that. Mm-hmm. So other than that, I really have nothing to say. I thought it was very basic. I did like the list concept
mm-hmm.
and how he was taking things off his list. I thought that was kind of different. But let's get to the fun part. You got to get to the aquarium, people. You really just got to push through the crap and get to the aquarium. Zombie shark. I got it back. Yes. You. Brilliant. Absolutely. Whoever thought of zombie shark, I got to give them full credit. That is the most fun I ever had was zombie shark. Nothing else in this film amused me at all, but zombie shark, I was falling asleep near the end.
Okay.
And then with the guy with his stupid boss is back, I'm like, I don't like this guy. How come nobody's killed him yet? But zombie shark, I was laughing with zombie shark. I was trying to figure out how they were going to get rid of zombie shark. It's just, zombie shark was fun.
Yes.
I got to give zombie shark full credit. And I like how he decided he wanted to be a superhero and how he's going to do it at this point and save people.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cool. I like that concept and how they did that.
Yes, yes.
But then it comes almost like a romance story near the end. I'm like, oh, this is just not for me. There's nothing here other than zombie shark at the beginning of the film. You know?
Okay.
I'm just like, I wanted more action maybe. Maybe a little bit more fun, absurdity like zombie shark.
Mm-hmm.
I think I enjoyed it. It reminded me way too much of Zombieland at times.
Yes, yes, good comparison.
And I just felt weird. I'm like, number one, always take toilet paper. Number two, always check the back seat. Mm-hmm. And I really felt that list was playing off Zombieland that way. I'm like, okay, I get where you're going, but you got to do something with this. But the cliches were bugging me a lot as I watched this till Zombie Shark showed up.
Okay.
So I gave this like a 1.5, maybe a 2. I can't remember. I have extra features mm-hmm. podcast. Don't tell you what I did. I found it just fell apart till Zombie Shark. And that okay. brought me back in. And then the end shows up and I'm like, eh. I don't really care. They're going off to the sunset. I knew they were going to live.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like the movement of the zombies. But I found near the end, the zombies didn't move as fast as they did in the beginning. Did you find that?
No, because I thought the zombie shark moved pretty quickly.
The zombie shark, but not the zombies. The people turned into the zombies.
I will be honest, I did not notice a slowdown of the zombies.
Just remember, Doug, check the back seat. Make sure you have toilet paper and Twinkies are good.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we can...
I can tell you a quick side story. It has nothing to do with the movie.
Okay.
So I was in the States about 3 weeks ago, maybe about a month now. And I love going to Dollar Tree. Love Dollar Tree. Sorry, guys. We have them here, but it's just different stuff than yours. So... Side note, I had a root canal. Okay, my benefits are done. I have to get a crown in my tooth or get anything hard on that side. So I bought these things called black candy peanuts. I'm like, oh, these are great, right? I think they're black, whatever. So put them in my mouth, took one bite. I'm like, uh-oh, too hard, too hard, too hard. Didn't even finish the first one. This thing was like a hard candy coated thing. Whole box went in the garbage in 2 seconds. Oh, no. Any thought. So the best thing, people, I just want to tell you, I know I'm giving the Dollar Tree some thing. I don't know if people like Dollar Tree in the States. I love it. They have Oreo Cakesters.
Okay.
Which are my favorite Oreo treat ever. They don't exist in Canada. We don't have them. We had them 20 years ago. They're gone now. Don't buy the peanut butter ones. They suck. Just buy the regular Oreo ones. And if you have any extra, send them to Doug, and he can smuggle them over the border to me when he comes over on the zombie apocalypse. So, shh,
yes. Tell everybody. Okay.
It's a secret.
All right. So now we can move on to Perfect Days, directed by Vim Vendors, starring Koji Yakusho, Takeo Imoto,
Japanese guy in it,
and Arisa Nakano. Did you want to start with this one, or would you like me to?
Sure. I'll start with this.
Okay.
This is one of those films that, I mean, I've never seen so many of my friends jerking it off. It was scary. Like, all my friends, oh, this is a great movie. Ah, you got to see it. Oh, it's one of my favorite movies. And I'm like, guys, I'm not watching this. I can't listen to you guys jerk this off anymore. Literally, I think they're blowing the director while they're writing their reviews on it. You know who you are, people. I can even start calling you guys out if you'd like. I will maybe one day. So I'm like, this is a Doug film. As soon as Doug bought it, I'm like, Doug will put it on the list. I don't need to watch it. So it starts off pretty slow, I would say. Mm-hmm. But I liked it. I found it very quirky. I'm like, oh, I kind of like the main guy. Doesn't say a lie. He's cleaning toilets. I wanted to punch the guy who was working with him. He needs a punch in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes from there. And you know what? As the film goes on, I like him more. I get to know his habits. I think he's very good at what he does. He likes old music. He likes to sit in the truck. He should have kicked that guy out of the truck. His buddy, he's a pain in the ass. But the buddy helps out. We get to know him better through the buddy. I mean, he did give him some money to be nice, and I thought it was great. I did love the third act a lot, much more than I thought I would. The third act, I find, is much better than the first act.
Okay.
When he picks up, well, I don't want to ruin it. When somebody shows up to visit him,
okay,
I like the film even more. And then I found the very end of the film so touching, it scared me.
Yes.
And, I mean, I'm not saying it brought tears to my eyes, but I think it's just a nice film. I wanted to say it was a perfect film, but it's not. I didn't give it a 10. I gave it a 3.5, which is a good score for me. It's a 7 out of 10, which I think I settled. Now you're going to ask me why. I just feel it's a little calm for me. There's nothing wrong with a calm film. Mm-hmm. I think it does a great job. I think the story's all there. It's complete. It just lacks a little conflict for me. Now, should it have conflict? No, I don't think it needs to. The only conflict we have is at the very end when he walks in on something.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really the only conflict, and it's not really resolved. And I wanted that resolved. They resolved probably everything else, but not that. Not that I really need it. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted him to kick that kid's ass and get his money. That really bugged me that he's going to get it one day. I don't think that guy's ever going to pay up, but that pissed me off.
No.
You know? But I just like the film. I find it very quiet, but enjoyable.
Okay. I guess I'm one of those people.
You know what? I should have given this a 4. You know, I need to I'm not redoing my letterbox, but I should have given this a 4. Now I talked about it.
I guess I'm one of those people who, you know, was jerking off this. I gave it a 5 out of 5.
There we go. There's another one on the list. Doug's sitting there going, oh, this is great, great.
Well, when I put it on, when I got the Blu-ray, I put it on, Dylan goes, oh, you're going to watch that? I kind of wanted to see that.
All right, Dylan. Let's hear Dylan's version.
Dylan sat down to watch it with me. At first, he was drawn in by, he said, the colors. He loved the use of color in this movie.
He's correct.
And then he was actually fascinated by Koji Yakusho's performance. He felt that was some of the best acting he has seen in film. And that that final shot of the movie, completely dialogue free, but you could see everything on his face.
Yes, absolutely.
And Dylan thought it was a masterful performance. He's like, that is one of the best things I have ever seen. I love this movie. I love that Hirayama, that's the main character's name. He's a very analog person. He uses cassette tapes. He reads novels. He uses a film camera. So there's no digital anything really in his life.
He has a phone, though.
He does. He does have the phone. But I think that's mostly for work. Because later on when he calls his sister, he uses the landline in the bathhouse. He doesn't use his cell phone.
Correct.
So I just love that we establish his life. And really what we learn about him is we learn it through conflicts that he has. We learn that he probably does not have a very good relationship with his father, because when his sister shows up, she says, you know, you really should go see dad. He's not like he used to be. That's really all she says, but we can infer that maybe his father was abusive. Maybe his father was drunk. Maybe his father cared too much about his job instead of his family. And we just know that Hirayama does not want to be like his father. My guess is that his father was a drunk, because Hirayama himself, we don't see him drink anything until the end, when he witnesses something that he wishes he hadn't. That's the only time we see him drink. So I'm guessing his father was probably an alcoholic and he didn't want to be like his father. You say you didn't see a resolution to what he saw. I think it was resolved. I think there was an explanation for what he saw, and I believed that explanation.
I believe the explanation. I just want him to go back there.
Okay. And he will, because that's part of his routine. He goes to that restaurant a lot. And I think he will be back there again. We just don't see it.
I think he goes everywhere a lot. I mean, he goes to the bookstore a lot.
Mm-hmm. And that noodle place in the subway he goes to a lot. I just loved this movie. I like Dylan said, I mean, the colors capture you, be it the greens of the plants, the violet of the lights he has to grow his plants in his apartment, the different colors of the public restrooms that he cleans. It's a very lush and beautiful movie to look at, which is really odd when it's about a guy who cleans public toilets. It's just...
But it's not about that.
Yeah.
That's what people need to get by. It's not about it. That's his job. That's it. Mm-hmm. That really doesn't have much to do with the movie.
No, not really.
That's what he does. That's how he makes his money. We're more interested. The good stuff is all the stuff he does outside of that.
Yes. Yeah, I love this movie. I guess we could move on quickly to 13 Assassins, directed by Takashi Miike. also starring Koji Yakusho and Tayaka Yamada, Tsuki Isia, and Shui Ihara. I will say I picked this movie because Dylan liked Perfect Days so much. I wanted to show him another movie that also stars Koji Yakusho. And the only other one I had seen was this one, 13 Assassins. I will say, right off the bat, I gave this movie a 4 out of 5. Rewatching it, I will say the first half of this movie is kind of boring.
Oh, good. So it wasn't just me.
Yeah, we get a lot of stories about how awful this Lord is and how the Lord has to be stopped. We see the Lord being awful again and again and again. And by like the third or fourth time we see him do something horrible to somebody, it just becomes laughable. It's not as shocking as it should be. However, once it gets to the village and that fake wall crosses the alley and cuts off the Lord and his army from progressing, and then the assassins appear on the roof, and there's bows and arrows and swords everywhere, that half of the movie gets the full 4 stars for me. That is just balls to the wall action. There is blood everywhere, as you would want from a samurai film. It's amazing. I can't get over how incredible the set pieces were. At the end, when the Lord gets beheaded, Dylan really wanted to see his head fall into the hole in the outhouse. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen. But my God, there was just so much viscera and action in the second half of the movie. I was just enthralled. I don't know how you felt, Simon.
Okay, I got a weird score. So I'm watching this movie, and I got a text from me saying, WTF. That was when he was shooting the naked girl with her arms cut. I'm like, what the hell is he making? I was having problems getting through the beginning of this film. I'm like, it must have taken me 4 days. Okay. I had stuff come up. So I started watching it. Then I had to go to bed. So I watched 20 minutes. Next day I said, I got to get through this. I think I made it through half an hour. So I'm still only at the 50-minute mark. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to kill Doug. This film is literally killing me. And then I started the second hour. Boom. Wow. What a difference. I'm like, is this the same film? This is enjoyable. I couldn't wait to finish the film. It took me 2 more days to finish it just because I was busy. Drove me nuts. But in the end, I gave this film a 7. It went nice. From a 2 in the first hour. I mean, a solid 2. I was so pissed off. To a 7 by the end of the film because I was enjoying it so much. My favorite character is that guy that's not a samurai.
Okay. The thief guy or whatever.
I love him. He made this whole film for me. I used to laugh when he'd show up. He was having fun. And I like it. They go, don't worry. We got this. And then just the stuff just kept happening and happening and happening. Mm-hmm. The fight scenes were excellent. I found it as like this film had 2 different writers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we need to know how cruel the guy was continuously. Because he was just so repulsive. We got it.
I did get a text from Dylan just now. He asked me to specifically mention something in the fight at the end.
Okay.
There was the scene where one of the assassins is overwhelmed and is about to die. So he lights a bomb and he's holding this bomb. Yes. And then we cut to the front of the house where there's more carnage going on. Then we hear the explosion and like a tidal wave of blood flies up over the top of the house and like rains down on people in front. And it looked like there was maybe two people in the back alley when the bomb went off. That was way more blood than in two people's body combined. So that had to be like 20 people's worth of blood just flying everywhere. And that was, yeah, that was amazing.
Oh, I agree. He's right on. I think this film is just fun. It just has so much fun in the second hour that it needed a bit of fun in the first hour, maybe, to make it so dark and thing. But it picked up so much that I quite enjoyed it.
Yes.
So.
And I will say that Takashi Miike says the ending is up for interpretation. Because they ask, like, is the Koyata character, the crazy guy, the thief guy, is he a supernatural being?
No.
Or, well, because we see him die. He gets the knife to the neck. Does. And then at the end, he's back. He's like, oh, we're going to go up to whatever that city is. And so it's up to interpretation of whether he's a supernatural being or if he's really dead and that the other assassin is just hallucinating after being through such a horrific battle. Okay, and that brings us to our final film of the episode. It is the 1964 film, The World of Henry Orient, directed by George Roy Hill, starring Peter Sellers, Tippi Walker, Mary Spaeth. It also has Angela Lansbury and Tom Bosley as well.
It does.
Yes. Also, Grandpa Munster. So
yes,
he's in it as well.
You are correct.
I could start off. I could say why I picked this movie.
Yeah, I always want to know that.
Okay. I picked this one because of all the I've seen just a handful of movies directed by George Roy Hill, but I have loved them. Slapshot. What else has he done? Slapshot's the one that comes to mind immediately, but The Sting, Slapshot, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Those are all movies I love.
Seen them all.
And so I picked this one because I'm like, oh, I like this director, Peter Sellers. He's always worth watching. I got to say, I was kind of let down by this movie. It wasn't as good as I was hoping for. I think the shots that were shot on location in New York were amazing. I loved the look of New York in the 60s. When they're playing like that hopscotch, whatever, when they're jumping over each other and you could see the actual streets of New York, it looked fantastic. Central Park, when they're spying on Peter Sellers and his lover, was fantastic. Everything else looked to me like it was shot on a set. That didn't have the same life to me as the on location shoots. Peter Sellers was okay, but this definitely was not one of his great performances. I'm actually surprised to find the two lead girls, they stopped acting, both of them, within 10 years of making this movie. I don't know why. I think they both could have had very good careers. I think they were both pretty good in this movie. But all in all, I don't know. I just didn't like it as much as I was hoping I would. I think I gave this a 2 out of 5.
Wow. I think we agree 100% on this.
Oh, wow.
I felt this film went nowhere quickly. Like, I liked the beginning. I didn't know where it was going. I liked the setup. I did like the first 10 minutes of the film when the girls were becoming friends and this and that. I thought that was good.
Yes.
And then Peter Sellers shows up, like, all right, I love Peter. I'm like, he doesn't do anything. When's Peter Sellers going to be Peter Sellers? He's never Peter Sellers to me.
Yeah, I think there's a few times where he drops the accent that he's putting on. And you hear, like, the New Yorker, like, yeah, you know. And that slips out just a couple times. But aside from that, I didn't really feel Peter Sellers' heart really in this role.
I call it a money picture.
Okay.
I think he just picked it up for the money. I love the end of the film. I thought the end of the film was excellent.
The ending with the two girls, or
I like the two girl ending, and I like the way they ended everything.
Okay. Okay.
And I thought that worked for me. My problem was in the middle when the girls are keep chasing him around, and then he this mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't find this interesting in any way.
Yeah.
I didn't find him meeting all these people interesting, picking up the Goldie Hawn, isn't it?
No, I don't think that was, I don't think Goldie Hawn was in this movie.
Who's the girl he picks up?
The blonde. Let me see. Might have been Paula Prentice.
That's it, Paula Prentice. And yes. I never find Paula Prentice. Everybody tells me what a great actor she is. I'm like, I've never seen a movie. I'm like, wow, that's amazing.
I think this might be the only thing I've seen her in. The name is familiar, so I might have seen her in other things. I just don't remember.
I do have I'm going off topic as always. I do have a Paula Prentice story.
Okay.
No idea who she was. And I'm telling you, I had no idea. But we're walking by this lady. Everybody goes, we're looking for Paula Prentice. Have you seen her? I'm like, what does she look like? I'm like, oh, yeah. She was back in that tree 10 minutes ago. We walked right by her. What? My friends were so mad at me that we walked by Paula Prentice. And didn't ask her for an autograph. I had no idea who she is. We walked right by her. I'm like, oh yeah, we saw her. What? She was at that tree talking to somebody. I know I saw her. I had no idea who she was. So that's my brush with Paula Prentice. I did see her once.
Nice.
I just feel this film lacks heart till the end. I feel the middle, it just seems to me to be sloppy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, nothing. I want him to do more. But I see what you're saying. Like, even this shot they have him doing the symphony, I'm like, that looked terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Every shot of him, I'm just like, more of this.
Yeah.
Angela Lansbury, I thought, was solid.
Yeah. Yeah. She played a good kind of villain of the movie, I thought.
And I thought Tom Bosley did good when he showed up.
Yes. Yes.
But I mean, okay. I know we've done our movie. There's not really much to discuss with this. We just want to find a blend.
Mm-hmm.
Is Peter Sellers blown up to be something he isn't?
No, I don't think so.
I'm just wondering. The Pink Panther movie is phenomenal. The Party, I love. I'm not a big
Strangelove.
Fan of, I'm not a big fan of that film. I have seen it, though.
I watch it maybe once a year. I love Dr. Strangelove.
Is he just one of these actors that we think pass of because we're older than obviously he didn't exist in our time until we were really late. So we just saw his highlights first.
Maybe, but I mean, there's also Being There where he's fantastic in that.
Lovely film.
I think he might be like the Eddie Murphy of his time, I would say.
I'll give him that.
I would compare the two of them together. I think he's definitely up there. I think he deserves his reputation, Peter Sellers.
Okay. Well, Doug, it's your favorite time of the show.
Yes.
What Criterion Collection sale did you forget to mention this week?
Let me see. I don't have them in front of me. I was rushed, but
rushed. I picked. How were you rushed by me? You picked the time.
I know that is my fault. My dog took a while outside, so
Your dog's like a size of a loaf of bread.
Yes, and he still just he likes to sniff every blade of grass outside.
Fair enough.
But let's see. I picked up Bound 4K.
Was that the world premiere? I think it was at TIFF.
Okay.
I was there for that.
Nice. I also got, they just released two Albert Brooks movies, Mother and Real Life. So those are what I got.
That's it. Well, that's it, Doug. That's it for our show this week. Thank you for finally making it.
Yes.
That's very kind of you to find time for us. I appreciate that.
Well, I'm just happy you're feeling better.
I'm getting there. And if they make it,
we will watch it, but it'll take us a couple weeks to finish recording.
True.